now, making your way toward the netcast area, anyway, or perhaps at least the archiving scene. It's the Bathrob Spears Broadside Show of March 19th, 2023. Another patchwork quilt of interviews and commentary. Still with equipment sort of in on life support is one way of putting it. It's having problems, in other words. But I'm still going to proceed to patch together what I can because there was a small anti-war rally on Saturday, yesterday, if you're listening to this on the 19th. I've had numerous encounters with folks outside, some of whom actually requested that I come take the record of their difficult experiences with places like Coral Street and the Armory. And it's really more a megaphone for the voices of folks who I think should be heard. I can't vouch for the veracity or the accuracy of their story. You get to judge. You listen. You make up your own mind. I do record this show earlier, although I act as though I'm talking to you on Sunday. So I may run out of steam, and if I do, I'm going to throw on a flashback just because I think flashbacks have some value, and I want you to have something to listen to as I poop out if that happens. But in the meantime, here we go.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
I'm going to begin with this interview of about a week ago, almost exactly a week ago, if we're talking, you're listening to this on the 19th, from a man, with a man named Logan Barnes, who I just met, actually. I don't think I've ever spoke with him before, but he was traveling through. He gives a lot of details about his experiences here, and he's very positive. He has his faithful pooch with him. And let's let him speak for himself. I ran into him at a protest, what was announced as a protest outside the homeless, what was once called the Homeless Services Center, or Housing Matters, Funding Matters, as I used to call it, or the Homeless Lack of Services Center, which it was about the issue of there not being adequate, not just cold and rainy night shelter over the winter, which, of course, there hasn't been anything. The Armory has not been open. Nothing's been opened on a walk-in basis. But in the face of these really cold and furious and flooding storms, and instead you have this half-assed, only at night, depot shelter open, as well as, I guess, Cabrillo College, and then now I guess it's, I'm being told, it's only the distant county fairgrounds out at Watsonville. So really difficult for people to reach, and with all, numerous other problems. But anyway, that was how this originally began. We heard there was a protest there. We got there, a few of us, and we got to look at each other, and I got to interview a few folks who happened to be around, and that's what. There was no protest of a really recognizable kind, but there was this interview, which I now pass on to you. Okay, well, it's about 25 to 1 on March 12th. I'm here outside the housing, or I should say funding matters, but they call themselves housing matters, and I'm talking with
Logan Barnes.
And, of course, his companion.
Jackson.
A service dog, according to the label on his stomach, I guess. And so, what make you here this time of the morning, Logan?
Oh, well, me and my friend stayed here last night. We were going to stay in town, but the cops kept rousing us out. You know, Thursday night, we were out walking till about 5 a.m. We kept getting kicked out of places by the cops and ended up here, and we've stayed here every night since.
And what happened? Describe your encounters with the police.
We were in a parking garage behind the theater, and I saw them kicking other people out. We were already rolled out. It was about midnight, and me and my friend were asleep. So we just rolled our stuff up and took off before they talked to us.
How many people were getting ousted?
There's only about 8 people under the bridge, or under the parking garage.
Yeah. And were they, was it raining?
Yeah, it was raining very hard.
And how many police officers were involved?
Only one.
And about what time do you remember did this happen?
It was midnight.
And what did you do then?
Well, all the shops in town are closed. There's nowhere to go, so we went under the bridge.
Which bridge?
You know, the one, I don't know what this road is right here.
That's Highway 1.
Highway 1 bridge. And we went there until the water started coming up, and I watched my friend sleep. But the water came up pretty rapidly, and about 5 in the morning we came here.
Did it cover the sleeping spot that you were at, do you think?
Did they what?
The water. Did it cover the spot?
I'm not sure. It was a couple feet from it, so
you decided.
I decided to leave before I fell asleep and got washed away.
Dig it. Did you ever use Food Not Bombs while you were in town?
Yeah. I eat there a few times a week.
How is it?
It's usually pretty good. I think it's made me sick a couple times, maybe, but I don't know. It's good if you're really hungry, but if you're not extremely hungry, it's kind of hard to be palatable sometimes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not too tasteful. I don't know.
Dig it. And you say you've been here since December?
Yeah, I got here beginning of December.
I'm asking you about that, but you also mentioned that after you were rousted from the just the number 10 garage where Food Not Bombs was serving food previously, which garage was it?
Actually, we were kicked out of that one earlier in the evening, and we moved to the garage by the library, whichever one that is, behind the theater in the library area.
I think I know what that is. Hey there. Hey there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
So, what happened after you were ousted from the second place?
That's when we walked. It was raining really hard. There was nowhere in town to go, so we went to the bridge, and which is, you know, almost a 2-mile walk in really hard rain. And I didn't get sick, but my dog was extremely sick yesterday, and same with my traveling companion. She was sick all day as well.
She seems to have recovered, perhaps.
Yeah, we've gotten better since.
So you then somehow the next day you made your way to Coral Street here?
Yeah, about 5:30 a.m. And I didn't sleep that night. And yesterday morning I had so much to do. Didn't sleep most of the day Friday.
And what kind of a reception did you have there here at Coral Street?
Well, they treat me good. Here, I mean, we're still outside. It's still cold, but it's mostly dry.
And where did you, what kind of shelter did they give you?
Well, we slept on the bench here, and they were nice enough to actually let us lay down. Normally, they don't let us lay down here. And they wake us up about 6:30, 7 a.m. and tell us that we're not allowed to lay down. So then we have to sleep sitting up. And, you know, there's only
practice.
Maybe
it's good practice for you. Now, come on.
Yeah. There's maybe 10 benches here, and there's only really the one bench that's completely out of the rain. And even when it's windy, you get rained on under that bench.
Well, I see that the security guard is, or the maintenance person is, strangely enough, hosing down the area. That's this outer area that's fenced off directly in front of Coral Street's complex and adjacent to the Rebel Lee family shelter and the driveway. Did you ask to go inside?
I didn't bother to ask, but they don't let people inside anyways at night. You know, you have to apply for housing here, which could take months.
Have you tried this before?
Yeah, I've applied for housing here. I was sleeping in my truck, so I've only recently applied to get indoors, but...
What happened to your vehicular housing?
It was towed away.
And why was that?
Well, I have no idea. I never got a tow warning. I wasn't illegally parked. I had been in the same spot for a long time, but I was working on getting a new battery for my truck. But I didn't have any kind of warning or notice. I just got to my truck one evening and it was gone.
When was that?
That would have been on Wednesday.
You mean last week?
Yeah, last week.
So you're relatively an on-foot newcomer.
Yeah, me and my friend had everything we owned in the truck, where I have a lot of decent camping gear, but I got kicked out with just my day clothes and a small backpack, and I've been on the street since Wednesday, sleeping outside without much gear.
For some reason, you look dry. How can that be?
Well, I've been doing this for 15 years. I mean, I've hitchhiked all over the country. Yeah.
And so you actually were able to evade the rain in the last few days?
No. No.
You have a self-warming heater unit, like in Back to the Future.
Yeah, I'm just used to being outside. Yep.
I'm just amazed that your clothes are dry. I'm wondering how that works.
Yeah, well, I came here from Montana and Wyoming, so I know how to deal with cold myself. A lot of these people don't know how to deal with the cold.
And what kind of advice would you give to folks here that you've picked up from your travels?
Stay dry. Stay dry.
How have you been able to stay dry in the last few days? I mean, you have stayed under different places, but you've been driven out of those places initially, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky. I have a really nice coat. I mean, somebody gave me this coat
camouflage
6 years
coat.
Ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a military issue. Mm-hmm. An ex-service member gave it to me in the military, so.
And you've been able to keep it with you for 6 years.
Yeah.
And you've been pretty much on the road since then?
Yeah, pretty much, since I had brain surgery.
And your brain seems to be in pretty working order.
Yeah, I feel really lucky that I was in a coma for a while and things, but that same year I lost my restaurant and my kid, and ever since then I decided to just keep traveling and go out traveling again.
What state were you living in at that time?
Then I was in Wyoming.
So, a Wyoming born and bred, or just a Wyoming?
No, I'm from Texas.
Okay. What have you noticed about this complex? Because you've been here now, what, for 2 days?
I think this was the third night here.
Have you been invited to stay for a fourth night?
I believe they'll let me stay because I try to be respectful.
And how do they treat other travelers? Are they allowing them in too, or just are you an exception?
No, they allow most people, as long as you try to follow the rules and you don't cause too many problems.
And what kind of rules do you notice that are worth mentioning?
Well, you can't smoke within the whatever fence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I guess that's about it.
They did allow you access to a bathroom?
Yeah, generally they shut off bathroom access by 10, same with water and everything else, and they kick us on the street. But since there's a severe storm, they're letting us actually stay inside of the fence after dark.
And if you want to use a bathroom after that time, what's the situation?
Well, I just go piss outside somewhere because this whole street kind of smells like a sewer because they need to figure out a better system for using the restroom here. Then I see people sleeping in these spots where everybody uses it as a toilet. I've seen, you know, feces and definitely gallons of urine, you know, and then people don't realize it's a bathroom and they sleep right on it.
Wow. And I've seen some tents that have reappeared here on Coral Street. Have you spoken to many of the folks there?
Yeah, I have. I'm surprised that they're already coming back. Maybe not too surprised, considering they were kicked out last week about the same time my truck was towed. And now a lot of them are already coming back in their tents.
Did you observe that eviction last week?
I was here right after it happened.
How many people would you say did it affect?
At least 25 people.
And do you know where they went?
No, a lot of them spread out. I've seen some of them around town, but these people have a lot of possessions. You know, a lot of them have a shopping cart full of stuff and a backpack, and they're basically moving an entire house and just looking for a place to set up. And which is hard because they can't leave their stuff anywhere without it getting stolen. So they have to go travel everywhere with hundreds of pounds of gear. And it takes them all day to get, you know, 4 or 5 blocks across the city.
Have you had any problems with theft?
Yeah, that's pretty much why I'm still in Santa Cruz.
Tell me about that.
Well, when I was first here, my set of harmonicas, my cell phone were stolen. Not long after that, because I had a seizure, and I was having a seizure, and I woke up from it, you know, real confused and everything, and I couldn't find my backpack or my dog. And I walked around town, and I finally found my dog, thankfully.
Where was your dog?
An acquaintance found him, and I was new to town then. I'd only been here a week or so. But somebody robbed me while I was having a seizure, and then when I found my backpack, all the pockets were open, and every single thing that was in there was stolen, you know. Stuff that nobody would want to steal, you would think. You know, my paperwork, stuff like that.
So you're a man without paperwork?
Yeah.
Should I even be talking to you?
Yeah, I don't have an ID or anything.
No, you look pretty suspicious to me.
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'm pretty recognizable.
How have the police treated you?
The police here have actually been fairly nice to me, but I try to be respectful back, you know? It's kind of all about attitude.
How many encounters would you say you've had with them prior to actually losing your vehicle?
Maybe 5 or 10. Generally, I just wave and smile and keep walking, and that's all they want to see. Show them a little respect.
Interesting. What about the homeless community? Do you see any homeless community, either at Food Not Bombs or in the various encampments you've visited?
Yeah, I think that this place has a pretty strong community where now that I've been here longer and longer, I feel more like a local and I know a lot of people, and I really like the community of homeless people here for the most part.
Anything, what's your comment about, have you spoken to many of the residents who live at the Housing Matters complex?
Yeah, quite a bit of them are really happy, you know, the ones that are, you know, living in one of those tiny homes. They seem happy, they're a pretty tight community, you know. There's some people with mental illness that make, you know, no sense, you know, people with addiction issues. So sometimes people go crazy, but it seems like there's not much judgment placed, you know.
How are the managers of the center? How do they seem to seem to you?
You know, I think everyone that works here, everyone who works at the clinic, and all the security here, I can tell that they're all genuinely good people. They're trying their best, and I think that they're very brave. When I was, this was my first experience at this shelter. I got scabies, body lice, body crabs, genital crabs, head lice, body lice.
I'm backing off right now.
I had them. I got rid of them, luckily.
This happened within a period of 3 days?
Yeah, I was, you know, me and my friend were living in my truck, and this was about a month ago. It started raining, and in the middle of the night, we realized, oh, fuck, we're covered in bugs, because we put on tea tree oil in our on our bodies and head, you know, just for the fuck of it. And then about a couple minutes later, just the whole truck was swarming with these bugs. And I suspect I got them from here.
And so you actually used the services here prior to your losing your vehicle?
Yes. Yeah, I've been coming here since January.
And what services did you use here?
I've come here for the shower, generally, and charging a phone. I was charging my phone with my truck or whatever, but my battery died, so I've been coming here mostly for the charging.
And pretty much that's all you used? You didn't try to get into the program for the meals or anything?
No. No, I'm on food stamps, and there's other free meals around town, so I'm pretty set up on food.
What is the free meal situation other than Food Not Bombs here?
There's a few churches that give out meals. You know, there's one that I go to regularly that just gives you like a sack lunch. Sometimes they have socks and whatever.
St. Francis Soup Kitchen?
I believe that's what it's called.
What's on Morris Street?
Yeah. It's off of River, the Green Church. I don't know which one it is. Yeah.
It's a dining room mainly, or it's a church?
No, they give you a sack lunch, but you're not allowed to eat it anywhere near their street. because the businesses nearby complain if homeless people are out there eating. So you take your sack lunch and you walk, you know, somewhere else, and then you eat it.
Mm-hmm. What's the best thing that's happened to you in the last year, that, or what have you learned that's been most productive for you?
Well, you know, I believe I'm going to stay in Santa Cruz. I'm going to try to stay 1 year here. Normally, I leave towns every couple months, but there's a lot of benefits here. There's a lot of social workers, and I think I'm going to give it a year here and see what kind of benefits I can get. You know, I'm trying to get on disability because I have seizures, and I really don't want a job anymore because I want to spend time with my dog, and I'm sick of working. When I work, even if I have an apartment, I'm always going to be broke, whatever, and for fun, I go walk the streets anyways. So, you know, I'm just planning on staying here. I don't want to work because no matter what I get paid, I'm a butcher and a cook. No amount of money is worth having a seizure and falling in a deep fryer, or having a seizure and cutting off my arm in a bandsaw. So I'm just trying not to work, just trying to get on disability.
I wish you luck.
Yeah, I mean, I do odd jobs out of my truck, landscaping and all that.
When you had a truck?
Yeah. Yeah, I do construction, landscaping, any odd jobs, but all my tools are in my truck, pretty much everything I own, so I'm just starting over out of a backpack right now.
Did you ever try to trace where your truck went?
Yeah, I found the shed that it's at, or whatever, tow lot.
Your property's still in it?
Yes. They said if I have a photo ID, I could retrieve my property. I have 14 days before they sell my truck, and they make it hard to get it back, you know, because they want to sell my truck more than they want me to hand them money.
Who's the towing company?
It's like Santa Cruz Auto. I don't know.
That's the name of it?
Yeah, some shit like that. But
the reason I ask is it's for me, it's important to hold these kind of people accountable. So.
Yeah, I can't remember which one. They're all pretty corrupt, you know, and they're related to the people that run city council and make the laws.
Corrupt? Our city council?
Yeah. I would say.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm running down. Is there anything you want to add to what you've said about, you think people should know about, that are listening to this account?
Well, you know, I really think City of Santa Cruz, even though the homeless population here has to be annoying, I've been in other cities that are this overrun with homeless before. But you got to realize, too, most of the best paying jobs in this town are social workers for the homeless, is what I've noticed from observation. It's like there's a lot of people here making money or having decent careers, you know, as therapy and whatever, getting a start in, you know, that field, just because there's so many homeless here. I'd say most of the good-paying jobs in this town or careers are based around helping homeless people. So the homeless people here are business. I'd say this time of year, though, they're trying to kick us all out because the tourists are coming. So,
me too. This is what? This is a doggy treat?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Yeah, my dog is in my truck, too. Cool.
And you got some dog food. You got your dog. And I got my interview.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you. We've been talking with
Logan Barnes.
And Logan, you don't have a phone, I suppose, anymore.
Oh, I just got one yesterday.
You have a phone number?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to announce it on the air, or should we announce it off air?
You know, is there any way to pause this while I...
Yeah, sure. You've already got $900 toward your, what, $1,400? How much is it?
Yeah, it would be at least $1,400. I need a battery and insurance, so maybe $1,500 might get me back on the road.
You have a GoFundMe you're going to ask now for folks to help you out.
Yes, I do.
Where the fuck is this?
GoFundMe. I don't even know how to share this link. Fundraiser. And the fundraiser my dad set up, he didn't have any money to help me, but he set up this fundraiser. It's on gofundme.com/Logan by Alan Barnes. Logan Barnes is homeless is the name of the GoFundMe site, whatever. Man, that was a bad
one. You want people to call you or go to the site?
People can call me. That's okay.
What's your number?
Oh, let's see. My number. My number is 831-529-5391.
Okay. 831-529-5391. Thank you. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.